Hey, this is K&J Sports. I'm Jeff.
I'm Kellen.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything exciting happen today at work or anything?
We don't talk about work here.
No, you know.
This is to remind people that they don't have work.
Well,
something to entertain them outside of it.
I'm doing something called filler because was such a slow sports week.
It is a very slow sports week. Anyways. I mean, some things have happened, but for the most part, I mean, wait. Before we actually get into this, our website is... knjsports.wordpress.com, and our email address is
knjsports@gmail.com.
Let
me do the website. I like throwing out the www.
I know, but I hate it, so I've stolen that.
Alright, just steamroll me.
So anyway, I was going to ask you if you heard the NFL scouting combine has apparently been happening.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you heard any news.
Darren McFadden came out and showed that he really does deserve the first round pick. He may or may not get it simply because Miami holds that, you know, pick, and they need help other than running back.
Right.
Ronnie Brown is a fantastic back when he was healthy before he got injured real early in the season. And so I don't think Miami will go for Darren McFadden. They might trade away that, but he does deserve to be the first-round pick. Also, Jake Long, for a lineman, was looking fantastic.
Yeah.
He was really working his butt off type there at the combine, ran real quick 40s, and
so
he's just looking really good.
One of my questions always about the combine is usually the quarterbacks, the running backs come out, and they're the ones that they say should go first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
But at the same time, usually it seems like the defensive guys are the more solid ones where they have a better feel of how these guys will do in the future. I kind of don't understand why those guys aren't more constantly put in those top positions.
This year, Jake Long might actually go first.
Right.
If I was Miami, I probably would take him because he is one of the most dominant people, other than Darren McFadden, who is a fantastic back, although he's kind of an Adrian Peterson kind of guy where he's not real big, but, you know, that plenty of time to bulk up and everything and
get
bigger and stronger. But this year, we might have a lineman go first. And I'd be excited as an ex-lineman myself.
No, yeah, well, and I like it because it really seems that even though the running backs and the quarterbacks and wide receivers are really the, you know, high media positions where they get all the attention, it's really like...
And the big bucks.
If you don't have good linebackers, it doesn't matter how good those other positions are, you're not making it.
Right, yeah. If you don't have, you know, the protection on a good quarterback or the lineman that can have a really good run offense and make the holes, then it doesn't matter how good your guys are, they're going to suck.
Right, so. Well, and I mean, a Super Bowl where really the defensive line should have probably got the MVP.
Right,
because there was really no one person on the Giants that really deserved it.
I'd agree.
It was really just the defense of the Giants got it done.
They really did. They shut down that, you know, unstoppable power of the Patriots, and it was one of those... You're exactly right. That's what I was thinking when I was watching the game, is it's the defense that deserves it, but, you know, it's one of those they have to pick one person.
No, yeah, and it comes down to one person, but defense is so much more everybody than offense is. I mean, offense, you have to have the pieces there, but one person can slack and you can still make it happen. But
it's
on defense, one person slacks and that's a touchdown.
Exactly. And so looking at, you know, a Jake Long kind of thing, he should be one of those that does go first in the draft. I doubt he will because of Darren McFadden is, you know, the second coming of Adrian Peterson, I guess, who was a rookie last year. So,
although at the same time, I mean, you know, Adrian Peterson came out, did great things,
and he also went lower in the draft. Darren McFadden does look really, really good, and he practiced in here. Usually when you go into the combine with such high regards, you do a couple of the workouts, you run a couple things, you take the test and call it good. He participated in every single event, every single workout, and
actually
really showed
up. Himself.
And he does deserve number one in my book. Granted, I'd love to see a lineman get it.
But again, you know, number one doesn't always go to who should definitely deserve number one because there's varying draft orders
and different teams need
different things.
Exactly.
So do you really see him being a top two? I mean,
I'm not even
sure of the draft order at this point.
And neither am I. I've been trying to find that out all over, and, you know, there's not really a set thing.
Yeah, it seemed like there's a lot of teams that were kind of...
Yeah, and it's things like the Patriots have the 49ers pick, and are they really going to keep, you know, the fifth pick, or, you know, where everybody falls. And there was a coin flip between Atlanta and, I want to say, I want to say Baltimore, the Ravens, and because they had the same record and no tie-breaking.
No, stat. Yeah, and then it comes time for a coin flip, which just cracks me up in sports.
It literally is a flip of a coin.
But really, I mean, you know, in the Super Bowl, we bet on the coin flip.
Sure.
This is an established sports thing that just 50-50.
Tails never fails, by the way.
Is that how you go? I got to remember that in the future for when we do coin flips.
Yeah, tails never fails. But yeah, no, and I am going to find that draft order here as soon as I can. I have been kind of looking, but haven't put my whole heart into it. So yeah, come next week, I'll go ahead and have that draft order up. But it really does depend on the team's need, where they are in the pick, what they can get if they trade away their draft. That's why, you know, come April, that's when you really want to watch the draft and see which teams are making what moves.
Yeah.
Because a lot of shaking up goes during that NFL draft.
No, yeah. Well, because, you know, people are vying for various right. draft positions, and so they're willing to trade pieces
right.
to.
And, you know, it's like Randy Moss got traded for a fourth-round pick, and, you know, it's stuff like that happens, and so not every team elects to use their pick, and, you know, one team might need that quarterback, but, you know, they trade it away, and then all of a sudden they pick a lineman above them. And
I just have a quick aside.
Yeah, sure.
Is Randy Moss for a fourth-round pick the most lopsided trade ever in sports?
Not at the time, really, though. He was playing terrible. He was looking older, looking slower. Got over to New England, got in with Junior Seau and Teddy Bruschi, did some roids, and
set
all of a sudden
up
he's fast.
And set a record for touchdowns for a wide receiver?
HGH. Excuse me, I coughed.
Well, regardless of that or anything else, it's not like the other guys aren't.
No, I, and it was one of those deals that you look at in hindsight, you're like, wow, that really was a bust for the Oakland.
Well, and it's another one that people call it the Vince Carter trade, where somebody gets to a franchise they don't want to be at.
Sure.
And they just don't play as well as they can just so that they'll get traded and just say, look, I'm playing like crap until you trade me.
Randy Moss admitted that I'm not going to play for a team that doesn't want to win. And so his years in Oakland, he admits he did not play on purpose. And that's, in my book, that's...
Isn't that just terrible?
That's chump. You know, that's not right.
I mean, you're getting paid millions of dollars. At least try where you're at.
And play. I mean, you got fans coming out to see you. And I was talking to a guy a while back, and he was a big Randy Moss fan. And whatever team he was playing on is the team that was his team.
Yeah.
And, you know, that happens, and everybody, you know, people find a favorite player and follow him around. It's just, I can't respect it.
No,
personally.
Yeah, I really didn't like that, and I just don't like it when athletes do that, when they say, I mean, it's funny, you don't like the situation you're in, but still when game time comes to game time, you go and do your thing, and then when you're off the field, go and deal with it then. And,
you know,
and
go ahead
talk to management and just say, look, I'm not happy here. Let's figure out something else.
I don't even like people griping to the media, but, you know, go ahead and gripe to the media, but show up to play.
No, yeah.
So,
And to me, there, I don't know, there can come a point where really the management just says, we're not letting you go.
Yeah.
Even though you don't want to be there. And I mean,
it's
true. In a job that I'm in personally, if I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
I go and talk to management. If we can't figure it out,
then
we figure out a way to part amicably.
Well, the whole
if
problem
they won't
is,
let them do that,
you know,
then that's the point where you start tanking at work and just look for the nice exit package.
I mean, you look at contracts and such at that point where they are paying you millions of dollars, and you can be sued if you just don't show up or fined or whatever the league wants to do to you or whatever that franchise does to you. But it is one of those. It happens, and it's always going to happen, where some superstar just, you know, thinks he's too high and mighty and doesn't want to play.
It's true.
But anyways.
Okay, so another thing I want to talk to you about is apparently the UFL, the United Football League, is going to come out in, I believe it's 2009, and they're going to be vying for the same players as the NFL. Of course, in the beginning, they aren't going to be vying for the top players. What they're going is for the...
undrafted.
Third and fourth string people and say, we can give you more money working for us than you would for them.
Well, that gets into the whole congressional debate of, you know, the monopoly, what do you call them?
It's a monopoly.
Yeah, the Congress goes ahead and okays it and says it's fine for you to do that.
Right.
And there's so much money in the NFL. It is the biggest sport out there. Arguably NASCAR and NFL are, competing in the nation, in the U.S. Of course, you know, you have soccer and whatnot in the rest of the world, but it's one of those, they tried with the XFL to try and make that something big, but
right.
That was...
I thought about the XFL, though, and I mean, it's really, it's Vince McMahon.
Yeah. I mean, it
doing football, which was just not that great an idea.
Yeah, professional wrestling, you know, meeting football, although
there was some funny and cool stuff going on where people got to choose their own jerseys and...
Right, and I don't know, it's... other leagues have come and gone. Aside from when the AFC and the NFC merged, then I just really don't see that happening again. I just
right.
One coming out.
AFC and NFC happened.
It's always
basketball, ABA and NBA.
Yeah, it's always going to be
ABA
second.
ABA was big enough that it had to get absorbed into the NBA. Otherwise, right. The NBA was having problems because
right.
The other team had that high caliber player. I'm just saying that there's the potential. For some switch up here, or at least some sort of competition.
I just see that
at least in a higher end than XFL was.
Right. I just see that, you know, there's already 32 teams. They're all across the country. Where are you going to put all these other stadiums? Where are you going to put all these other football players? I mean, there's only so much excellent talent.
Right. Well, and another thing that I was thinking about is really all they're going to be doing is gouging the Arena League.
Right. Right. And it could become a D-League thing, like NBA, you know, where it's, all right, go down to the, what were you calling it, UFL? What was it?
Yeah, I believe it's UFL.
UFL, yeah, go down there, practice a bit, excuse me, and then we could bring you up later, you know, when you've proved yourself down there. Other than that, I mean, NFL's king, it really is.
Right. Well, one of the odd things to me is I don't think that the NFL is really a very good league for call-ups and stuff like that because of the high intensity of the game and the high propensity for injury.
Yeah, the whole, I forget which coach said it, the NFL stands for not for long. I mean, yeah, you get beat down and most average players aren't there for 4 years.
Right. Well, and that's one of the things about the NBA and the Major League Baseball is that they're both sports where it takes that couple of years before you're
right.
really into the swing of things, and so it's good to have that development. In the NFL, it's kind of sink or swim. I mean, quarterbacks might have a good time in a development league, but
I mean, there's
linebackers?
Only
like,
so
not
much
a good
juice
idea.
In a running back's legs, and you know they take a lot of hits every day, and they get beat down and wore out, and so I don't know, are we going to have the UFL on Saturdays and NFL on Sundays, because there's no way you could put you know, up against the NFL. That, and, you know, the story, the history, the prestige, all that behind the NFL, I see it kind of hard to have another league come in and directly compete with them.
Right, but, I don't know, it's just one of those, I think it's kind of interesting that it's occurring, and I think...
No, I hadn't heard about it.
Yeah, so I just thought that I'd throw it out there. But anyway, I thought that we should talk about college basketball. I missed the big game of the weekend, but Tennessee won.
Tennessee and Memphis. It was a fantastic
game. So they're now number one.
It really was a good game. Came down to the last bit. I say there was a bad call. I'm not a fan of either Tennessee or Memphis, but there was kind of a bad call on a loose ball foul. Where it really was Memphis's ball, and it should have been called a foul, a shooting foul, and that would have given Memphis the game, but the refs called it a loose ball foul, which happened to be Tennessee's turn, and gave it to Tennessee down to the other end, and they went up by three, and that was the game.
Yeah.
And so, and it was convenient that Tennessee was number two all of a sudden right behind, right before this big game, where North Carolina had that position forever and ever, and but, now Tennessee's number one,
right.
And unanimously, and so it's one of those, I don't know that Tennessee's the best team out there.
No, I've heard this a lot where people say Tennessee deserves the number one spot right now because of the schedule that they played compared to everybody else, where the losses they've lost have been against really good teams.
Right.
And they've won really big games, but everybody's still saying, really, probably North Carolina and UCLA are better than both Tennessee and Memphis.
Yeah, and Tennessee has a tough game this weekend going up against Vanderbilt, which is number 18, or ranked 18 right now. And, it'll be one of those, you beat Memphis, can you beat Vanderbilt, can you beat all these other teams? Because they don't have an easy schedule. They really don't.
No, not at all.
And Memphis, they've had just as hard a schedule, though. That's the other thing. And I do think it is good for Memphis. We had talked about it earlier that they do get a loss, and so that they won't go into March with being winless and have that whole added pressure of being
undefeated. It adds that added pressure. I mean, again, bring back Patriots, Giants.
Exactly.
Having that perfection going in, that's a lot to... lot to write on.
Yeah, and so I think this loss actually, I mean, it was a tough one against a really good team. I'm listening to myself, and I'm sounding like I'm knocking Tennessee, and I don't mean to by any means. They're a good team. They deserve they got the win, and it was a tough loss for Memphis, but a good one.
Right. Well, and I mean, it comes to that point where there's really no such thing as a good loss, except for they really tried in the game. They came out, did what they could, and just couldn't get there. Not to say that the next time the call doesn't go the other way and they win. That's like, as you described, that's what it came down to.
Yeah, and it's not like they lost against some unranked, piddly team out of nowhere that happens to beat number one, which does happen. This was the number two versus number one, arguably top five versus number one.
Yeah.
But it was a good game, and I was excited for it. It is something I am looking forward next week for Vanderbilt, because they also are a good running shooting team. Although I do kind of want to throw out an early prediction. I kind of see UCLA and Texas going for the final.
Is that your final two right now?
Tentatively sitting on that. I was talking to some other people, and we were debating back and forth. And, UCLA is playing really, really strong. They're up to number four. I was kind of dogging them all year, and then, watched a couple of their games and watched this last weekend. And they can play really, really well. Their head coach is just really running that team. It's a younger team. They've got a lot of freshmen playing as starters. Of course, Love and all that, because, he's our homeboy. But it is one of those things where I could see them going deep.
Right. Well, and as we try to say every time, UCLA, they're in a deep conference.
Yeah, they really are.
I mean, at this point, you have, six teams that
UCLA's
are 500
four.
Or above?
Yeah. And
really, when you look at overall record, every single one of them is above 500, except for Oregon State, which, as we've mentioned, has not won a game since we started doing this.
So you have
9 teams that are over 500,
right?
Overall, and so in conference, of course, you're not going to have all of them be over 500.
Exactly,
but
it is one of those things. You look at the Pac-10; we still have the three: Stanford, Washington State, and of course UCLA sitting at number four, still in the top 25, and Arizona keeps getting their votes, and it's Arizona State finally got back up onto the voting category.
They got the big one.
Yeah, hey, one's one. And so it is one of those things where look out for the Pac-10 to be going deep. I expect, I would hope at least one, maybe even two of those teams could go to the final, or the Elite Eight.
Yeah, well, I mean, really, UCLA, Stanford, Washington State, and then USC is really kind of the wild card with OJ Mayo.
Right, they are. They can play really well too, and I'm surprised that USC only got 11 votes. They should be getting up there in the voting,
right? But I think that their seeding's actually going to be pretty good for them in the tournament, where I think USC is almost a first round lock.
Yeah. Well, I'm always worried about saying locks, but it is one of those things. They could come out and really show that. Yeah. OJ Mayo, he talked a lot at the beginning of the season, kind of struggled, but now he's finding his own again and playing really well.
Yeah. Well, I can just see him, because as they go through the 1 through 16 seeding the four different times, I kind of see USC being more in the, 10 range.
Right.
And that sucks for anybody that has to play them. That they get
the five
stuck at a 10, yeah.
Yeah. And, I could see that happening. So. Any other college ball that you want to bring up?
No, that was about it for college ball. Just thought that we'd at least stop by and check out what was going on there.
We will both have to do our brackets and stand by them, announce it here on our little podcast.
Oh yeah, don't worry. We could even do graphic charts up on the website.
Oh, it's fancy.
Yeah,
now.
We can get real fancy.
Yeah, so other than that, I guess we got some NBA stuff going on. The big news that I'm sure everybody's heard by now that cares to listen to this thing, that Yao Ming has broke his foot and is out for the rest of the year and does not look to be coming back for the Beijing Olympics, which was a big deal.
I've heard mixed stuff on this, where some people say that he will be back and some people say that he won't.
He well, at this point where we stand today, he's questionable for the Beijing Olympics.
Well, and I've heard some interesting stuff on it, where Some people say he got hurt, he needs to just rest and probably sit out through the Olympics. Some people are saying they're pulling him now because there's such a tentative relationship with China that if he can't play in the Olympics, there's the possibility that they say no more NBA for you.
Right, right.
So, I mean, there's just some kind of odd storylines going along with this.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that would be sad to see that, you know, Yao Ming gets pulled by his country, which, you know, still being communist and all, they still do that. But I don't think it'll go to that kind of an extreme simply because of, you know, China's interest in Yao Ming and him playing in the NBA is really big for that country.
No, it's very true. Well, and the other thing is, if he's even 50% to play, I feel that he'll be playing in the Olympics.
Yeah, you know, get a couple minutes at least to just have him out.
Floor, he may not dominate the entire time, but he'll be out there and get it. And really, I mean, I don't know. His healing timeline is right around the time of the Olympics, so they might just honestly push him anyway, which I don't know how good that is. I mean, it's definitely not good for his NBA career, but...
Yeah, and it's never good for his long-term body kind of thing. You know, you never want to be playing on injuries, furthering them, you know, for a longer time in your career and all that. But, you know, for Houston, who's on a 12-game winning streak...
Yeah, which kinda... when I left home, it looked like they were about to win 13. So.
Okay.
So and even with him out, they're still...
They're still a great team, but, you know, that doesn't look good for him in the long run.
No, that's going to hurt.
Was dominant, you know, averaging like 23 points and 10 rebounds a game.
Well, and especially in a West where, okay, they're in the 7 seed right now. They're 3 games out from the top of it.
Right.
But they don't have Yao Ming now, and so if they start sputtering, everybody else is doing so well.
Right.
If you aren't, I think, you know, that... I said that if they don't win at least 4 games out of 7 for the rest of the time, you can't be in the playoffs if you're in the top 9. Like, that's how good you have to do. You have to win definitely over 50% and almost closer to 60.
It's true.
Just to stay in this sucker.
The number 9 and number 10 here in the West would be Denver and Portland. And Denver is on their own little slide losing the last 3 games. But, you know, they've won 5 out of 5, or 5 out of 10 in their last, you know, 5 out of 10 of their last games, and it's one of those they could quickly, you know, boost right up above that, you know, number 8 spot.
No, exactly. Well, I mean, they go on like a 3 or 4 game win streak.
Yeah. Portland sitting 10 games out here in the West. I don't see them coming back.
No, yeah, 4 games back from the playoffs. Really, at this point, another thing when we're talking about Portland, Brandon Roy is now hurt.
Right.
If they start playing this guy too early, I'm going to be kind of upset because they're at the point where it's, you know what, let the playoffs go. Even if you go in as an 8th seed, this is not a title year.
Right, right.
You don't need to push your guys that hard. Let's get the rest of the team in the rotation, see who we really want to keep for next year. When Roy is healthy again, put him back in so that he can come in, maybe do a good run at the end of the year so that you can show people that, hey, next year we're coming.
Some big nods.
But
note, Yao Ming and Brandon Roy are on my fantasy basketball team, and I just lost my 2 stars.
Okay,
now I'm down
done.
To, like, Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah, well, that's actually not that bad to have
around. Oh, yeah, no, Rasheed's there.
Wallace,
Rasheed's there.
Although, when you lose your 2 other big pieces,
yeah,
and it's been in, like, 2 days.
Yeah, that was a pretty fun hit that I just took.
So,
you know. Anyways, going back to Brandon Roy and the Blazers.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that they really need to let him actually rest because this is an injury that occurred before the All-Star break.
Right.
And then he just has played and played and played and then finally just it aggravated it and it's just, look, I gotta stop.
He played 9 minutes in the game and then was just, no, I've gotta go, and he didn't return from the locker room for the rest of the game. And so it is, just let the guy rest. He's a kid, you know, don't ruin the rest of his career because he got overzealous today.
Although at the same time, Brandon Roy's had other injury problems. And one of the things that people have talked about, he's maybe closer to a 60-game-a-season type person.
Okay. Yeah.
And then go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Where, you know, other people are 70, 80, where they maybe miss 10 games a season. Not a huge deal.
Sure.
But it seems like he could be one of those that perennially just...
Little injury prone.
Yeah, just misses that chunk of games where it's the rest of the team really has to be there. And
that's
and
always
do stuff.
Been my big worry about Greg Oden, is that even in high school, the kid was injury prone. Of course, everybody knows he played with a broken right hand all through college.
Right.
College, learned to shoot left and played through the pain. Then comes here, and before even game one, even before training and all that, he goes down. So.
Well, and
if we have a team that's just perennially hurt, that's not good for the Blazers.
No, right, and that's another one for title concerns. Although at the same time, if you can get the other pieces there, as long as you piece together that season and get into the playoffs, be scared of the Blazers because those two guys will show up even hurt.
Yeah,
once playoff time comes.
You and I were talking about it the other night at. When we were out and about, it was one of those, I could really see Portland finding a good three person, you know, a good shooting guard, or small forward, and also point. You know, they got Brandon as a great number two. You know, he can play the 1-2, 1-2-3 even.
Yeah, he can do a bit of the small forward. I like him more as the guard, though.
Yeah, I like him as a number two. Of course, keep Aldridge as your number four, and then Oden, if he's healthy, is your number five. And you're looking at a strong, strong team. Get one other, you know, small forward in there to be able to run up and down on some fast breaks, and a point guard. Steve Blake has been playing well, but Jared Jack's out now also. And so there's a lot of holes in the Blazers still.
It's true, and I don't know, like, what was it? Martell Webster has kind of come out lately and actually done kind of well.
Wasn't that who you put on your list?
This is who I put on my list. And really, Martell, keep doing it for the rest of the season, because I want you and Jarrett to be traded for a nice piece of point guard or small forward that we're talking about right now.
Sure.
Because they're good players.
Get their value up on a
trade. They're good players, but almost, again, we have such a deep guard position.
Yeah.
That, to me, Jared Jack is the one to kind of let go, because he has so much potential, but it just doesn't seem like it's going to work in the Portland system.
I'd agree. And Jared Jack, he does play hard, he does do his best, but it just hasn't clicked for him here.
No, yeah, it's just, and I mean, he can be that point guard, but he almost seems to be that shooting guard thing, except he's just a little small.
Yeah, and Steve Blake, I don't know about the guy. I've gone on and off his bandwagon personally.
See, I like him as a excellent backup. I think that if they got another point guard to be the starter,
your bench point,
and had Blake be, I mean, because they just have, you know, black and white squad,
right?
And so they consider him equal, and so have Steve Blake be part of the the bench squad and just really be that point guard, because he does it and he does it well, and he can come in and play on the.
Sure.
Starting lineup, and he can do that stuff, but he's really not a 35-minute game-type player. He's more than 24.
His three-pointing percentage isn't as high as I'd like to see on a really good, strong point guard. You know, he's, of course, the guy that stands out and waits, you know, gets the ball to where it needs to be. But
I think his three-point percentage is actually pretty good for...
Yeah, well, it's not fantastic.
No, it's not great,
right,
but it's a solid, and he does well on the assistance. Or on the assists. But my other thing is that really the Portland Trail Blazers, again, they're all young.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are getting better.
Yeah, it was, you know, Portland all of a sudden is like, oh, the Blazers. It's good that we're getting excited about them again, but...
No, it's still a couple years off.
When we got Greg Oden, I said 3 years we'll be in serious playoff contention. I think next year is going to be serious playoff contention.
No, not next year.
Might get in as a seven or eight, maybe six.
Next year, I'm guessing we get into the playoffs.
Yeah,
but
first round, in my opinion, in the West.
Yeah, because it's just so strong.
Although the West did get real old real fast with all those trades.
So here's another thing that I wanted to talk about is just how old the West got, because there's so many teams and everyone's like, the West is so stacked right now.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yep.
It may actually lead to the point where the East is actually going to make a
big swing
comeback, because in 2 years all of these trades are all gonna
be washes,
be done, and these teams are gonna have nothing left, but they still are gonna have Jason Kidd and Shaquille O'Neal
with
and
huge
all
salaries.
No, exactly. And so to me, the Suns are gonna have to spend a couple years in the gutter.
Oh yeah, no, for the Suns, that's the team that I was gonna bring up being the most in dire situation of they need to win this year. Maybe next year.
Yeah.
Although this year's their much better chance.
See, I almost give them next year.
I don't know.
Is better than this year, although the Lakers are just going to keep getting better.
See, that's the thing, is Paul Gasol is not that old. He's not ancient like Shaq.
No, and the Lakers are really the ones that, out of all these big trades, have come off the best, except for possibly Utah.
Right. Well, Andrew Bynum will be back, and he is a force to be reckoned with.
He's a beast, man.
He's real, real good. And as soon as they get him in with, of course, Kobe and Gasol, that's going to be a tough, tough team. And for being a Portland guy, even though I'm not a Blazers fan, I really hate the Lakers.
Everybody does. How can you not just...
Right.
I mean, unless you actually are a Lakers fan, anybody that's a non-Lakers fan does not like them because they're just so dominant.
Yeah, it's true.
Nobody likes to see that dominance from anybody but their own team.
And whenever they do go on big runs, all of a sudden they're there for 3-4 years. And just, that's the team to beat is the Lakers.
No, exactly. And it looked like that's what's shaping up. Mm-hmm. One of my things that I wanted to talk about was the Dallas Mavericks.
Okay.
And the Jason Kidd trade.
Mm-hmm.
Which... Jason Kidd came out in the first game. He was flat.
Right.
Do you know what? That'll happen. Somebody just gets on a new team. Sure. You could tell that he was just kind of still feeling
things
out.
Chemistry is totally different.
So now he's coming out, and he's getting a lot of assists. It's looking a lot better. My thing is...
Also a bunch of steals, too. He picked up a bunch of steals the last couple games.
But to me, it's still not going to be enough for the Mavericks to... make that swing into the finals, and really, that's the team I think that is getting bankrupted.
Yeah, I have never liked Dirk Nowitzki. I think he's one of the most overrated.
I think he's an excellent player. I just don't think that he's not the player that you want taking the last shot in the game.
Right. Well, he just had his first triple-double of his entire career a month or two ago.
That's a pretty good achievement, though, the triple-double.
Although Brandon Roy already has a couple under his belt.
I know, but that's...
And it's one of those things where, you know, a lot of people say Dirk Nowitzki, much better overall player than Brandon Roy kind of thing, or put Brandon Roy, trade him out for half a dozen other players. I've always thought Dirk Nowitzki's an overrated player.
This is true. And, one of the other things is it seems to me that guards tend to get triple-doubles more often, although we do have, like, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, who had tons. But
right. Well, I mean, they are the assist guy.
Blocks all the time.
They have the ball in their hand the majority of the time.
Is that assist kind of that other category that, you know, Dirk is going to get assists, but...
A couple.
If he gets more than four, like, you're just going on bonus time.
Right.
With him, where you almost want that 10 rebounds. He's not going to get it every time. I think he's more around an 8.
I guess I'd need to look at his double-double record, you know, see how many times he's
I bet he has a lot of double-doubles.
I just want to see where he stacks up against the other great players.
I'm just saying he's overrated.
Agree he's a really, really good player. I don't think he's one of those phenoms, you know, one of the best in the league like everybody tends to give him.
Right,
and he chokes bad in the playoffs.
He does choke in big games, which is why they got Jason Kidd, because Kidd does not choke in the playoffs.
Right.
He
focuses down and gets it done. And it'll be interesting to watch if Dirk can get on his bandwagon. Because I think, at this point, Jason Kidd needs to go ahead and take over the Mavericks.
That's his team. And that's basically been the whole idea. Mm-hmm. And everybody says the largest point of contention is going to be Avery Johnson giving up the offense to Jason Kidd and letting Jason Kidd run it instead of Avery Johnson.
Right.
Run it all the time.
And it'll be something to watch. And they do need to make that move, you know, this year, maybe next year, because, you know, Dallas is getting old now, too. And next year, Kidd will be older.
Yeah, they're a this year, next year, and then they're done because their salaries are going to get completely out of whack. I don't see them being able to continue on as they have.
And, of course, when you... are contending for those playoff positions, you're not getting good lottery. You're not in the lottery, for one. And then your draft is so weak that you're not going to get the new blood. And all these teams committed to such an old team. So.
Well, which is true. You can trade for draft picks. But
I know.
Okay, but another thing...
Boston's also in that same situation.
Okay, so Boston, though, is not as old as these other teams. They're getting there. Garnett's really kind of...
Ray Allen's gonna give Ray Allen another year or two.
Are definitely up there. Well, really, I mean, Ray Allen's a guy that... He's at the point in his career where he could decline a little bit. They can add an extra piece, and he can still be enough to help them for that
just
title.
Just one of those veteran leaderships come in when you need him.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be... I mean, this year was the big three.
Right.
I think next year will be the big two plus... the two or three other people on the Celtics that are crazy.
Right, right.
Which Ray Allen will be one of them. He won't be quite up there as he was this year.
I agree.
I think that Boston's looking really vulnerable, though. I mean, they're currently on a two-game win streak.
Right. They've won seven but out of their last ten.
They finally came out to the West, lost three in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit is just looking, like, ridiculously strong. Cleveland just got stronger.
Right. They did. Cleveland, I think, in all this trading and whatnot, I think they did do real well in that trade.
No, I think they did real well. And, I mean, a lot of people are picking them for the Eastern, or for the basically the NBA Finals right. to take the Eastern Conference after these pieces they put in place.
I don't know. I still kind of lean towards Detroit coming out on
Detroit
top.
Detroit is, they are just really good.
And then they're the same team. They didn't get heavy into this crazy trading crap, and so
right, which
they
is
still
true.
Have their chemistry.
My only thing is that last year they lost to a Cleveland team that is not as good as this year's Cleveland team.
I understand.
To be. Again, I have to see how the pieces really fit
yeah.
for that, but it looks like this one's built better than the one last year that went to the NBA
Finals.
Are we
just totally kicking Orlando out of the conversation altogether?
I'm actually not kicking
they're
Orlando
better
out of
than
the
Cleveland.
Conversation. Well, they currently have a better win percentage.
Right.
This is one of the things that happens around the trade deadline, though, is wins all of a sudden doesn't mean better team.
Sure, sure. That's true.
And so, but no, Orlando is very strong.
They're both on three-game winning streaks.
Well,
and
really
both
those,
of them winning six
those
out of
four
the last
teams,
10.
And even Toronto
yeah,
can come in and really kind of mess things up for the other ones where you would say, oh, well, obviously Boston's going to win. Well, you know what? There is a Toronto, a Detroit, and a Orlando
mm-hmm.
that have to be reckoned with at
wild
some point. Like,
thing.
You know, yeah, they may win the first round automatically, but right. get to the second round and it's not going to be fun times.
Yeah. This playoff,
I mean, it'll be fun times for us.
Right. And with the trades, I do think, you know, even the East improved themselves a bit. And so it could be pretty crazy come playoffs, which will be exciting. So.
Yeah. Well, and again, like I've talked to people, the Western Conference, it's going to be crazy
That's
throughout.
It's going to be nuts.
The Eastern Conference is going to be good as soon as the second round starts.
Right.
Because that first round, I mean, maybe the 5 and the 4 where it went like, Toronto's playing Cleveland or
in the West I can really see anybody going into the playoffs going all the way. All those teams are that strong that no matter who loses first round, there's always going to be a debate if that team had beaten them, they would have played these people and they would have beaten those people, but they didn't win that first, you know, and so on and so forth. So
yeah, and you can debate it forever, but the team won, they won.
Yeah.
So
winning's a win.
Well, and what I love is, I mean, how are you even going to pick really in the West when what 1 through 6 are so close? 7, 8, and 9 are all fighting each other for that top spot, but nobody wants to play any of those three teams
right,
either because
exactly.
they could still beat you.
Right. I'm still not on San Antonio's bandwagon, but I'm not liking the Lakers, and I don't think our Northwest Division, Utah or Denver. Utah's
Utah,
out there,
man.
But I don't know.
I don't see him being able to do it against San Antonio. Here's my thing: is San Antonio is still that good?
Yeah.
I think if they kept the same lineup next year, they're not going to do it. This year, yes, they're getting old.
Mm-hmm.
But man,
who made it last year out of the East to the finals? Was it Detroit?
No, it was Cavaliers.
Oh, the Cavs.
Yeah,
that was the finals.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
The Cavaliers beat Detroit in the Eastern Conference Finals. Mm. Which was my contention with Detroit being
okay.
the same team as last year.
Sure,
is that,
sure. Well, San Antonio's same team as last year. So.
Yep, pretty close. But they're just still that strong. Right now, they're only a half a game back.
Yeah.
I mean, they went from being, they were about, what, fifth, sixth?
Right, and now they're contending for
and they're
the
right
top
in the
spot.
Top, and San Antonio tends to turn it on towards the end of the season. They kind of, everybody calls them, like, they just put it on cruise control for the
sure.
for the middle and then put it on towards the end.
Sure.
And if, they're doing that now. Wow.
Yeah. Well,
look out for them.
There's more to be said, but we're running long anyways.
We are getting long.
We thought this would be a dead sports week, but look at us rolling on and on.
Yeah, well, I can babble on about the NBA day in and day out.
Well, cool. You've been listening to K&J Sports. Our website is www.knjsports.wordpress.com.
Our email address is knjsports@gmail.com. Don't be afraid to email us.
Exactly. Have a good night. Thanks.
Thank you very much.